58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth.
Wake up. September's over.
Okay.
It's time, anywhere you are, and by whatever method you are listening in, socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast, Grant. September has ended.
And so are the Twins baseball.
And so are the Minnesota Twins, unfortunately, who are no longer with us in a baseball sense. Did you even get to see any of the actual live games?
I saw maybe two innings.
Jeez. It was pretty awful. And even the most optimistic Twins fan can't walk away from 2020.
Which is like me.
Which, just with sheer disappointment. And after all the ministrations of getting to the point where you were up against the Astros and the inferior pitching staff and you're at home. And every year it just looked like the same year again.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed. Because you bring in a guy like Josh Donaldson to take care of third base, moves Snow to a natural position.
Who, by the way, didn't see the field.
Didn't even see the damn field in the series. I'm thinking, okay, Donaldson is out. We'll be fine. Just plug Marwin at third base. We're good. Polanco at short is great, and he screws up in the ninth inning, and we end up losing game one, which then snowballs into game two, and Buxton can't stay healthy, and I'm like...
Yeah,
I just don't know what to do or say at this point.
Everything went wrong for the Twins.
In two innings.
Yep.
Two.
And the only guy that could hit worth a damn was Nelson Cruz. And if it wasn't for Nelson Cruz, we would have gone all Cincinnati Reds and scored no runs.
No points?
No points. No runs, no hits, no errors, no nothing. It's pathetic. And I don't know if it's necessarily... And then there was a good point that was made by one of the folks on Twitter that I read, that maybe the Twins are too dependent on the long ball, and they don't have enough hitters in the lineup that can just get a two-out hit. Because you look at a guy like Sano, who swings from his ass, and you look at a guy like Rosario, who swings anywhere. It's tough. When Nelson Cruz goes up there, you have a professional hitter up there. He can whack it to all fields. He can drive the ball. You know, he knows how to hit. Where it looks like Rosario, half the time he goes up there and guesses where to go.
Yeah, that's true. But there's only two guys up there with a two-out hit. And I'm like, we really want this guy up. It's Nelson Cruz and Marwin Gonzalez. They're the true veterans, I think, on that team.
Well, even Gonzalez.
I think he's more of a two-out hit guy. He has been during his time with the Twins. He has, but there isn't anybody else, unless it's Buxton up there, who it's just going to be either a home run, a flyout, or a infield hit. It's just kind of, there's nothing there. It's like, this guy's a for sure just going to get a base hit, not home run.
Right. So, and the bullpen again lets the Twins down, and I don't know, you know. Tyler Duffy, Trevor May, Cody Stashak.
They're fine.
They're fine. But when it comes down to it, it's Taylor Rogers
and
Sergio Romo. And the frisbee slider from Romo in the 86-mile-an-hour garbage, that doesn't play well against teams that can figure that stuff out.
Like the Astros.
Right. And then the Astros, and then Rogers. I don't know what happened to Taylor Rogers a year or two ago, but I want him back. And he doesn't look like he's coming back.
I don't want him back.
He's got some issues throwing strikes, and I don't know what happened.
No, I don't.
Did he just forget how to pitch?
No, it's just if he gets with 0-2 count, he always tries to throw that one pitch that gets right in the strike zone before the hitter, and he always misses.
As the old saying
it's
goes,
it's just inside every time.
As the old saying goes, the perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yep.
If you just throw some good pitches, you can get outs. So you don't have to throw the perfect pitch.
But that's the problem with the Twins relievers. They need perfect pitches.
They have to throw perfect pitches. And then you've got the Tyler Clippards of the world and some of these other guys. I'm just like, Because actually, I think this year the Twins' starting pitching
was fantastic.
Was more than sufficient. I mean,
fantastic.
Maeda and Berríos pitched good enough to win both of those games. Berríos had a little trouble and hiccup in one inning, but still, he left the game with one run, and it should have been enough. And unfortunately, the bullpen this year didn't quite have the put away stuff in the late innings. And thus the Twins couldn't win. And they won a lot of four. Remember, like every, it seemed like every night the score was 4-2.
Yeah.
And this
also, Odorizzi wasn't healthy the entire season.
He's actually warming up in the bullpen during one of the I think it was game two. And you know, Pineda came back. So you know, I think their starting rotation.
The starting rotation
is
just fine.
I think you got Maeda, Berríos, Pineda. I think you've got a good three there. Rich Hill was fine. Odorizzi, we'll see how he comes. I don't know if he's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
And they might let him go. Homer Bailey.
They might hold on to him.
Dobnak. They've got enough starters, I think. But again,
I think they have too many starters.
And the postseason comes around. Let's see what happens. By the way, 18 straight playoff losses.
I wasn't even born when they won the last one.
Of course, the gambling degenerates in the audience, and you know who you are. If you started with the Twins in that 2004 when they lost their first playoff game in this streak, okay? Or 2004.
So 2002, game two of the ALCS.
So when they, if you would have bet $100 against the Twins, won, and pressed the bet every single time in the next 18 games. So, I mean, in other words, from that initial 100, all your winnings would go to betting against them in the next game and the next game. You would right now be over $2.6 million in your bankroll based on the money lines of those games that were at the time. I could have retired on $2.6 million by betting against the Twins 18 straight times.
I might not pick the Twins again on this show for a while.
Well, we certainly won't be for a while. And
no,
and
I'm just saying if they get to the playoffs again, I probably won't pick them to win a series until I see them win a damn game.
Who knows when the who knows when we're going to see again baseball in a regular format. Hopefully by next spring when this has all died down, there'll be some opportunity for that. But we'll see. Just to talk about the other series, Grant, Rays swept the Blue Jays, no surprise
not
there.
Not surprised.
Yankees swept Cleveland out, winning 10-9 last night. Oakland today polished off the White Sox, so
not surprised.
All the AL Central squads are gone.
And the winner just gets a flag in their home stadium.
Apparently, that's all we get. And so it'll be in the division series, Tampa against New York. Interesting matchup there.
Let's go Tampa.
And then Oakland and Houston. Again, we're talking rematches now from the regular season. Oakland won the season series over Houston. Oakland looked a little erratic, but they were able to hang on against the White Sox. I still think that Oakland's going to win that series. The Yankees, it's tough for me to pick against them. I think even though the Rays were superior during the regular season, I have a tough time not picking
the Yankees. It's the Yankees in the postseason. It's just something happened to the Yankees.
Stanton, et cetera, et cetera.
We don't have it on with the show. Let's say they're like an 85. I don't know what their overall rating is, but say they're an 85. They come out like a 96 once they get to the postseason. Like
96.
That was not on purpose.
No, I know.
You just can't stop them in the postseason, unless you're the Houston Astros.
Right. And you have a garbage can.
National
League, Dodgers up on Milwaukee 1-0. They're scoreless as we record this. St. Louis and San Diego tied at 6. Cardinals won the first game, and frankly, the Padres' pitching is falling apart. Clevinger not going to be able to go. Lamette not going to be able to go. I had picked the Padres. I think that pick is looking poor.
Yeah.
Considering I didn't know that half their pitching staff was going to be gone, but Chris Paddock got rocked yesterday, and the St. Louis certainly has a good shot in the division series if they get that far. Miami and Chicago, the Marlins win the first. Of course, they never lose playoffs.
They can't lose a postseason series.
Rained out at Wrigley today. They'll play that one tomorrow. And the Braves. You think the Twins were pathetic on offense? The Reds didn't score a single run in 22 innings.
One guy was tagged out of home plate by his ass. So, I mean, that's when
13 innings yesterday to settle it. The Braves certainly have the pitching staff. Freddie Freeman's a heck of a hitter. I'm going to pick the Braves to move on to the AL or the NLDS or the NLCS. And certainly I think if the Dodgers can do what they need to do against Milwaukee and take care of
anybody but the Dodgers and Yankees, please.
So, There'll be no games this weekend unless the Miami and Chicago go three, and then Monday we will start the American League and National League Division Series. So looking forward to that. We'll talk about more against the division about the Division Series starting on Monday. But that's pretty much the wrap on the Twins baseball season. We'll have plenty of time to dissect their offseason and what's coming up for them in the next few months. But coming to the Fargo Dome this weekend,
which no one's allowed to go to anymore.
Right. Your North Dakota State University Bison in the one-game Trey Lance showcase special.
Crap out of Central Arkansas.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
That we won't be able to go.
Why can't we go? Why?
And again, we're not going to get into the politics of COVID on this show.
No, I get that.
But
why?
It would have been nice to see this team in action.
I want to see Trey one more time. Come on.
As it is, we'll have to watch it from the cheap seats like everybody else on the living room couch. Let's talk about, first of all, Grant, the Bison in general, what we have coming back.
They're going to kick ass.
I mean, it's obvious that there are going to be 9 million NFL scouts to see Trey Lance this weekend.
They all must have, you know, one-time subscriptions, ESPN Plus, to watch this game. Why is this not an ESPN-broadcasted game? I just want to know that. He's a top 15 pick, and you're not going to put it on ESPN? It's on the edition, but it's not on main ESPN.
Well, there will be plenty of time to dissect Mr. Lance, I think. Because this, you know, for all practical purposes, this is his pro day.
Yeah. Well, him and Raiden's.
I wonder if they're going to dump the ball in water again and stuff. And like all the Hugh Jackson or whatever.
They'll throw 63 passes and everything. And
I kind of wonder if that's going to be the case. But, you know, also, what happens if the Bison get up by like 35? Do you think they're going to take their foot off the gas?
Zeb in.
I was wondering. Do you think that,
because Zeb's most likely going to be your starter.
Presumably he'll be the spring starter. So do you think that they would be inclined to put him in
maybe
for a long period of time to see what he looks like?
Maybe, but another question to ask you. Next spring, who is the Bison quarterback?
Nolan.
You think Zeb's our quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
It's him or Noah Sanders, so I suppose they have
it
to.
It'll be Zeb. Well, it'll be Zeb.
Zeb's not that good of a runner, though.
But he doesn't need to be.
But I'm just saying, are the Bison going to work with a pass-happy offense, or are they going to be more of a still run-based offense?
The Bison will never not be a run-based offense.
Let me rephrase that. Are they going to go away from the zone read game and more just a power offense like they've always had with, like, because Mark Jensen wasn't that fast, but he was just a powerful runner.
Here's why. Here's why the offense will look a little different. One, obviously, Nolan does not possess the athletic ability that Lance does. Obviously, not a discussion item.
I missed that.
But look at the running back stable.
Oh, God, it's loaded.
Adam Cofield will start. Seth Wilson.
Oh.
Jaden Bussey.
Oh.
Kobe Johnson.
Oh.
Sabian Clark.
Oh.
We got DJ Stewart.
Oh.
We've got, I know I'm missing other kids. DJ Stewart, as I mentioned. Nate Goldaddy from West Fargo.
Who?
Cheyenne, the recruit, came in. Nate Goldaddy. TK Marshall.
What's his name?
Nate Goldaddy.
Goldaddy.
Yeah.
Okay. His name just sounds weird, sorry.
Okay. you've got, if you look at the passing game, the Bison have the best core of wide receivers they've had for two starters ever. With Christian Watson
and Phoenix
Sproles.
And my man Zach Mathis.
And Mathis.
Yeah.
And Cole Jacob is listed as fourth on the depth chart.
He's Jimmy Capurris this year. Because Jimmy's gone. So
there is no Jimmy Capurris right now.
He is the Jimmy Capurris.
Well, And Hunter Luepke will be the starting fullback. He's got certainly the background there, and he'd probably be a 3-year starter at that spot if he stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Babich and Gindorf, of course, at tight end.
Jaden Claybo.
Jaden Claybo from Davies will
Yay!
Be.
Never got to play with him. But.
And of course, that you mentioned Dylan Radins. It's probably going to be his last game in NDSU uniform. In fact, it will be if things go.
Yeah, he said.
You've got Jensen Shaning on the left and the center. Right guard, Zach Kubis in there. You've got Cordell Volson playing his senior year. You got Quinn Allo as kind of your swing out there.
Is it Allo or Alo?
I always called it Allo.
I thought it was Alo.
But whatever. Defense has a few core questions than they have in the past. Every year we have that one big player. You've got, okay, it's Tuska. Okay, it's, Marcus Williams.
Well, this year it's Tutsi.
You think so?
It's Tutsi. It's either, I mean, I want to see how Jahcir Cox plays. Not Jabril, right. Jahcir. I want to see what Jahcir can do. He's still Spencer Wagey. He's been really, really good these past couple of years.
I think it might be James Kaiser.
Yes. Is he a safety or is he a corner?
No, he's neither.
Oh, he's not. What is
he? He's a weak side linebacker.
Oh, he's a linebacker. I totally forgot what he was.
So,
he wore 26. So
let's just review again what you're looking at from the starter standpoint.
Remind
you
me
got
here.
Tony Pierce at left end, who's really good. Bartholomew Ogabu from out in Bismarck.
Nice.
He'll be the other left. He'll be the backup.
Justice Kelly, or is he gone?
No, Justice Kelly is not going to play.
Oh.
He's done.
Oh.
Matt Beagler, who really came on a defensive tackle, along with Lane Tucker. They'll be your defensive tackles, along with Costner Ching.
God, they're all... God, this team's so loaded.
Javier Derrett, who's a recruit from Missouri, is also going to maybe see some time.
Okay.
Logan McCormick and Brendan Cook.
I forgot he was still there.
Be at the ends. You've got Kayser. You've got Mason Hofstedt, who really has played well in his opportunities. Jackson Hankey at middle linebacker with Bo Pauley. You mentioned Jahcir Cox. Obviously, he's going to be a big part of this defense. Destin Talbert, not my favorite corner, but he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, he'll get the one side corner. Josh Hayes, obviously, is the shutdown guy.
Yay.
That we're going to have.
I'm like, do we still have him? Because he's a junior.
But
he was a junior.
Where I think this team has a lot of talent, though, is at safety.
You
mentioned Tutsi.
It becomes safety you. There's so many good safeties.
Dawson Weber will start, but I guarantee you that a guy by the name, and remember the name, Dom Jones.
Is he really, really tall?
He's from Duluth, Georgia. Yeah, he's 6'2", 190. Holy. And he is the safety star in the making. That I think Bison fans are going to love.
He's 6'2"?
Yeah, and he can hit.
Oh, my God. He's Marcus Williams at safety.
Right. And let's not also forget about Julian Larchek, who's 6'3", have at strong safety.
Where are they finding these guys?
Well, and if you look at this roster, it's Florida, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wyoming, South Dakota, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois.
Midwest.
You've got Iowa.
Iowa.
California, Georgia, Florida, and Kansas again. Jaden Price, who is the other corner. I should mention that, too. Special teams-wise, I don't know. I'm assuming Jake Reinholz will kick.
Yeah. We never saw him kick a field goal. So
we certainly know that Griffin Krosa can kick. Ross Canelli back to long
Ross
snap
Kenley.
Again. Garrett Wagner back to punt. Keep an eye on a couple other guys, too, special teams-wise, you may not have heard much about. Raja Nelson from Lakeville.
Receiver?
5'9", 182 receiver.
Oh, yeah, right.
He is listed as one of the kick returners. Or Braylon Henderson.
Yes.
From down in the Frisco area. You remember
Braylon
him.
Henderson.
A direct result of NDSU getting to 500 championship games.
Yep,
and he actually was at... He did play, I think, in the semis or quarters last year.
I remember.
He'll be an exciting 5'8". If anybody's going to be your...
Tyreek Hill,
that's going to be the guy. So, exciting times ahead. Let's briefly talk about...
There's just so much talent.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how much talent's left on that roster.
Let's take a look at the opponent, Central Arkansas. They're 2-1. They come in, they beat Let's Go P in the opener.
Don't care.
24-17.
Don't care.
They lost on the road to... FBS Alabama Birmingham, Sun in the belt.
Come on.
And struggled to defeat Missouri State, and that's probably being generous.
That's
now,
not good.
Now, I know most states probably going to be better under the cheater Bobby Petrino, but I didn't think Central Arkansas in any of these games that I've watched, Grant, has looked really that impressive.
No, they look mediocre at best. They look like your typical Southland team. They're not very good on defense. They have this creative offense that no one's heard of except for the Southland Conference. And yet you barely beat Missouri State. If you can barely beat Missouri State, you got no shot at beating NDSU. Sorry, you just don't.
Braylon Smith is the quarterback.
Yeah.
He's about a 50% passer this year.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns, 4 picks. Not a big running threat from what I can tell, and that is going to be a dangerous thing. If you can't move out of the pocket against the Bison,
you are screwed.
Deep doo-doo. One thing that's interesting, though, we talk a lot about quarterbacks coming into the dome for the first time.
He's one of them.
He is, but ain't nobody there.
Yeah.
So making checks and dealing with the crowd noise is not going to be an issue for him.
Well, that doesn't matter. It's still the Bison defense. The crowd's one thing. That's just something you just have to get over. That's gone. You just got to worry about the Bison defense, who happened to be the best defense in the nation you got to face.
Some other names you'll want to look at. Robert Rochelle, the corner for Central Arkansas, who one of a potential NFL draft pick. He will probably get matched up with Watson.
Good.
Which I would expect then Sproles would get a lot of play. Kier Crossley is their running back. Had 110 yards against Let's Go P earlier, so he's the name to watch there. Tyler Hudson is their top receiving threat with 11 catches on the year. And it will be interesting because they have already played, you know, three games.
Yeah.
So the Bison are 23-point favorites in this game, and I'm going to put all kinds of money on the Bison.
On the over?
Yeah. The over and the Bison minus 23.
Yep,
book it.
I'll take it.
I'm not worried about it. I just wonder what the second half will look like. Because I think the Bison will be ahead significantly. It might take them a little while to get going.
Yeah.
But I got a strong suspicion that this game is going to be in the neighborhood of 42-45-10
Something like that. Typical non-conference kind of score.
Right, typical non-conference
Is it a pick-that-score kind of game?
I'm not sure this is like Western Illinois Name the Score Night or Drake or anything like that. This is a legitimate top 25 team in FCS. So I don't think you're just going to, you know, roll the ball out there and you're going to beat them by 100. I think it'll be a wear down. It'll be like Montana State or one of those other slappy.
They're
big
not
sky.
Montana State.
No, but
no.
Well, remember that Central Arkansas lost to Illinois State in the playoffs last year, and
they should not.
It wasn't pretty. No. So
if you can't stop Illinois State running attack, you got no shot against the Bison.
So it'll be interesting to see what they bring in here. But again, experience may have a lot to say in this game. If they have now three games under their belt, they've traveled, they understand what they're doing a little bit better, they won't have some of those jitters, and their coach has publicly come out and said, we want to be the first ones to intercept Trey Lance. So, whatever.
I wish you the best in that regard. I'm just saying, Trey makes such great reads, and he rarely puts the ball in front of his way, if ever. I mean, there's maybe one throw against JMU he wished he could have back that was tipped and was almost intercepted, but it wasn't. It's
probably should have been picked against Cal Davis on the one down the sideline, but, you know, that's football.
But you know what? If Trey throws a pick, I really don't think he cares. It's just football. If it gets tipped, it's whatever. The media's going to make a big deal out of it because it's your pick, but it's like, if it's a batted ball and it gets tipped and it's picked, well, that's just a part of football.
Right. And remember, this game does count in the sense that every game counts for the playoffs coming up. When the Bison will take, of course, their 3-4 month hiatus and come in hopefully with a 1-0 record when they kick it off against Youngstown in February. So more to come on that. But
that's gonna be really.
We're saying Bison minus the 23. If you can get that money, get it down now, because I don't think this will be that much of a game. Although you never know what will happen in openers for teams. It's always a little bit of a challenge to see where they go, especially after this offseason. You just don't know what it's going to look like. And, of course, you never know. There could be a COVID test that comes back and someone has to sit out and whatever. And you just don't have any idea how that's all going to play out. So we'll be watching with great interest on Saturday, 2:30 kickoff at the Fargo Dome.
We'll be on the couch.
We'll be on the couch, unfortunately, watching it all unfold. So. Well, speaking of watching games on the couch, let's talk about the association.
The NBA.
Yes. Oh, we're going to do college football, weren't we?
Yes.
We'll get to the major college games in a little bit. Let's talk NBA finals, so as long as I played the music anyway.
Yeah. The Heat got their asses kicked. All right.
Yeah, Brett from Fargo, this is a segment that's not going to be really
good. Before I skip ahead 3 minutes, this is
going to be good. Jeez, so the Lakers carved the Heat up last night.
They got killed.
In a game that was not as close as the final score indicated.
This series won't be close.
The Heat had a 13-point lead in the first quarter.
And then got blown out.
And then it completely got turned around. It was bad.
Bad is an understatement.
Jimmy Butler turning his ankle at the end of the first half, limped off. Bam Adebayo got hurt, out now for game two.
Goran Dragic out for the year.
Out for the year, apparently. I'm not sure how much the Heat are going to have in the tank to win this one, Grant.
Nothing.
And you know that I am not a fan of LeBron's, and I don't like...
But you know this series is...
But this one's over, and I don't think it's going to be pretty if things manifest as they are right now.
I asked you who's going to stop LeBron, who's going to stop Anthony Davis, and nobody, and no Heat player could stop either of them.
You know who was the big catalyst last night, though? Was my boy Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. who hit some big threes early on when Miami took that early lead. The Lakers kind of came out like they do in sometimes often, kind of flat. And they kind of needed a little kick in the ass to get going. And Kentavious, my boy. Kentavious. We're tight, Kentavious and I.
Right.
And Kentavious made some big threes. The turtle, Franklin, Rajon Rondo.
Is it Rajon or Rajon?
Doesn't matter.
No.
Distribution of the basketball was easy very good. Say. Yeah, exactly. I thought it was overall just a complete and thorough domination there by the Lakers.
A complete and thorough ass kicking. Yeah, that was. You knew the game was over by about halftime. It's like it's LeBron, it's Anthony Davis. They're gonna get the hell out of the bubble. They're gonna finish this in four and go home. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, they're gonna sweep them.
Yeah, I do. You know, some people say it might go five, it might go six. LeBron wants to get out of there. Everybody wants to get out of there.
I could see it going five.
I could see it going five, but it's LeBron. I think he wants to get back at Pat Riley anyways. So, Lakers in four.
Legitimately could be the case. I kind of wonder that myself, if there's going to be an opportunity for the Lakers to really, you know, close it out in style, or if they're going to have to grind in like a five or six
the
game.
The fact that LeBron can win championships in both conferences, that's a pretty cool achievement.
So that's championship number four, of course still puts him behind, you know, Michael, Kobe,
again,
et cetera,
if he wins seven, is he the GOAT?
No.
Why not?
Nope.
Why not?
No, because he's lost too many.
Oh, come on.
No, he's not. He's
playing a stacked Warriors team with nothing.
He's never
around,
better.
Dude.
He's never going to be better than Jordan. We're not having this debate on this show. We're not doing it. Why? Because I don't have to.
But you said rings matter.
Rings do matter, but it doesn't matter in this case because LeBron is not the greatest player ever.
If he wins.
LeBron, how many titles has LeBron won without another star around?
What about Jordan?
He didn't need Pippen to win titles.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Really.
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 I severely doubt
that. You know that LeBron's team...
Until Pippen was really himself, he was getting his ass kicked by the Pistons.
Seriously.
He was.
I watched The Last Dance. I know how this works.
Without Pippen, he ain't winning the title.
Nobody dominated the NBA like Jordan did.
If he doesn't have a sidekick, he ain't winning the title. He just isn't.
Neither of them. Are we going with that? Okay. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you. 6-0. That's all I got to say. 6-0.
But...
6-0.
He didn't carry a team.
Didn't lose. Never lost. Never lost. And LeBron got his ass handed to him in several finals.
To a superior team. A very superior team.
Seriously.
You're telling me if Jordan had to face those Warriors, would he win a title?
It would have been interesting to find out, wouldn't it? Because styles make fights. Yeah. Styles make fights. You think Dennis Rodman and those guys would have just been slamming around people like Draymond Green? Come on.
Who's stopping Curry? Who's stopping Clay? Who's stopping KD? That's all I gotta tell you. Cause Steve Kerr is gonna guard Curry all night long. Really?
Michael Jordan would have shut
Craig
Curry
Hodges
down.
Hodges is gonna guard Clay Thompson.
What's LeBron? 3-6? 3-6 in the finals?
Yeah.
Great. 3-6. 3-6. What did I say? What did Charles Barkley say? I'm gonna slap anyone that compares LeBron to Michael Jordan as the GOAT.
That's Charles Barkley says a lot of stupid
Charles
things.
Barkley is absolutely right on that particular subject. Well, I hate to turn this into LeBron versus Jordan because it's a stupid argument.
It is LeBron versus Jordan.
But there is no argument because right now LeBron ain't even at Kobe's level. So let's just slow your roll on that one.
Okay.
Ain't even at Kobe's level.
So he wins three more while there's no discussion.
He ain't. Do you know that this will be the... If he does, here's my prediction. Okay. This will be the last championship LeBron gets.
No.
Last one.
He'll get one more.
Nope. I don't think so. Because in the modern NBA now, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. Now he's going to have all the talent to deal with around him. He's going to have to deal with the Warriors again. Nope. I don't think they're winning it. I don't think they're going to win another one. They'll get this one.
A more depleted Warriors team?
Still got Curry.
It's Curry, Clay, Draymond, and that's it.
The style of play will work to their advantage. I just don't see them getting through another grind, especially... Where you have a road, an actual road, an actual home game.
So if the Warriors are the only team they would have to compete with, it's them and the Clippers.
Well, it's not just them. The Clippers are going to be back and better. They will be better.
Right.
They will be better coached.
Better
and speaking
coached.
Of, as a segue, Doc Rivers, who...
He gone.
But he now in Philly. He now going to be part of
They're
Philly.
They're going to be worse with him.
Not sure how that dynamic's all going to work out as he inherits a point guard that can't shoot. Joel Embiid, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then, who's this, what's it, who they
all Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. Josh Richardson. Couldn't think of his name, Tobias Harris.
Josh Richardson. It's just, the Sixers are really, they're a family with no chemistry. It's just what they are.
They're the gang that can't shoot straight.
They're the gang that can't shoot straight. They're just a team that has a lot of talent, but doesn't have a lot of chemistry. And maybe it was Brett Brown, because Jimmy's like, I didn't want to re-sign with the Sixers because of Brett Brown. Maybe
Jimmy Butler said that?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler said that. He did say that. That's a fact.
Jimmy Butler runs, you know, Jimmy Butler's had a great run here, but when push comes to shove, now you're in the finals, big boy. This is where you've always wanted to be. Now it's time to carry the team. And I think we all saw that ain't going to work.
Yes, but if Brett Brown was really the problem, replacing with an easygoing guy like Doc Rivers, maybe that'll do the trick. I don't know.
Maybe that'll get him to 3-1 in the conference finals at some point.
Maybe they'll actually win a series.
Good. Whoa, slow your roll again on that one.
Maybe win a game in a series. Just pull the Twins logic. Might. Win one game, then they'll go into two, then right. to three, then
logically, you can't win two until you win one, or so I've been told. You know what winning streaks are? They all start at one.
And then you go on a winning streak.
And that's it. It's called a winning streak. Do I have to do my...
You're not for your Lou Brown right now.
My Lou Brown, entire world.
Don't do it right now.
Let me know. Hey, Charlie, I got another line. What's the line? God,
you
can't
do it.
You
can't do it right anymore.
I can't remember the...
Just move on.
I can't remember the line. Entire world. Come on, Dorn. Get in front of the damn ball. Don't give me this Olay.
Got carried away. Okay.
I know. I usually do. Can we talk college football since I forgot to talk about it? Go back to major college football. We got two big games. By the way, game two Friday night NBA Finals.
Lakers by 30.
Lakers by 30. With taking Spo to the woodshed. Two major college games of note this weekend. Both of them interesting. Alabama hosts Texas A&M. I can't say that Alabama exactly knocked my socks off with impressiveness.
I think their run's kind of done. I think they're done.
Really? Done?
Mac Jones is their quarterback?
It's a great name, by the way.
Sorry,
I forgot the SEC theme. We got to have that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Nebraska football is a good but Bama doesn't screen any more national championship contenders.
Well, they're still...
They don't.
They're still probably the... They have to be reckoned with in the SEC.
Yes. It's them
and I don't know. I haven't really. I honestly, A&M to me, Florida. Since Manziel,
Since Tannehill and Manziel, it's kind of
This. I don't really get too excited about Alabama as much as I used to. I don't like to say that's a drop off, but you know, Mac Jones isn't Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
He's not.
When do they play Florida?
That's in a few weeks. I don't have the whole season.
I'll jump on the Bama bandwagon if they can beat Florida, because Florida I think is their main. They got to beat them to win the SEC.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. Yeah,
that's Florida. You got to beat Bama, but I think
Alabama 17.5 point favorite in this one. By the way, just so you
know. I'll take Bama on the points, but I'm just saying that if you're Florida, who I think might be the best team in the SEC, they have to beat Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama not very impressive against Missouri. 38-19, kind of a pedestrian win. A&M wasn't exactly lighting it up either. They struggled to beat Vanderbilt in the opener.
God.
So I'm not sure, but again, this game being what it is at Alabama, I can't see them losing that game. Other top 25 matchup on the agenda this week is the big one, and down in the in Georgia, where Auburn travels in there with. Georgia's having problems just keeping quarterbacks on the field right now.
Yeah.
They've had like all these quarterbacks with, injuries and COVID and everything else, and now they're going to be putting some guy named JT Daniels, who was a transfer from USC. He got hurt last year. So rotating window of quarterbacks for Georgia, however they are at home. I don't know. This is probably one of those SEC games where anything can happen. As far as that goes, they did not play very well last week against Arkansas. Struggled to run the ball. I don't know, Grant. Do you think they've got a chance to? Do you think Auburn's got a chance to come in there and win?
I'll take Georgia, but not by a lot. It's just
Georgia 6.5 on the board.
Right? Yeah, and that
6.5 of the 44.5 over under.
I'll take the over, but I'll take
Auburn did look good against Kentucky. Put them away pretty easily. Yeah.
I'll take Auburn.
Okay.
Auburn plus the six and a half.
Plus the 6.5 is a good play there, I think. I think straight up I'd pick Georgia to win. Yeah. But I like Auburn to cover like you do. I think that would be probably the best way to go in this one. Some other matchups of note, just looking at the college football weekend, just a couple of other games. Oklahoma has to come back and try to figure out what happened. They've got Iowa State in a primetime matchup here coming up.
Of course, it's a primetime matchup.
On Saturday night. LSU trying to rebound from that ugly loss to Mississippi State. They get Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. They're a 21-point favorite in that one. I got a feeling some angle will be taken out there. Clemson, the top team in the land, hosts Virginia. 28.5-point favorites there.
Now, this was basketball. It'd be a close game.
It would be, but unfortunately, we ain't playing basketball. Not tipping off, probably not for a while. A couple of FCS teams in action. Campbell was at Wake Forest. We obviously talked about the Bison. Nothing going on there. North Alabama still playing. They've got Liberty.
Low key, I'd take North Alabama.
Liberty's a 30.5-point favorite. I wouldn't. Army,
give me plus the 30.
Army gets Abilene Christian, Houston Baptist, and Eastern Kentucky. Jacksonville State goes to get sacrificed in Tallahassee to Florida State.
I wouldn't say Florida State has not been.
Florida State's 0-2 and they suck.
Yeah, so that might be a closer game people think.
But
if they can't beat Boise State,
well, they lost. You know, Mike Norvell, the Florida State coach, had COVID, couldn't participate in the game against Miami. I got a feeling Florida State's going to be a little angry and probably going to take it out on your boy John Grass from Jacksonville State.
It's John Grass.
John's ass is going to be grass in that game. I got a strong suspicion.
John's ass will be on the hot seat.
That the Gamecocks are going to have some get cocky is going to be in a little bit of trouble Saturday.
Remember when they made the national championship 5 years ago?
Remember when people thought they were a legitimate threat to beat the Bison? That's just fantastic.
What was the final score again? 37-10.
Way too much to not enough. Yeah. That's what the final score was.
That defensive line was really good.
Let's just say that they made Carson Wentz a lot of money.
Yeah, they made Carson Wentz a number two pick
that day. So. That was very, very impressive in every sense.
Remember when Todd McTray had Paxton Lynch over Carson Wentz?
Yeah. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Those were the days. Hey, congratulations to my boys.
TV-12 has won a seventh ring. Wait, what?
A celebration of the Tampa Bay Lightning. The last time I get to play this song, sadly, on the air this year. But
still not the right one.
I'm glad we're going to have this debate. It's going to be over, too. So, yes, no more hockey nights in Canada. The Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup. Couldn't even tell you who the Conn Smythe or MVP trophy guy was. Couldn't even tell you who scored any of the goals. Don't really care. All I know is that I listened to Doc Emmerich and it was fun.
Yeah.
And Edso, they call him Eddie Olchek. Edso, Pierre McGuire beneath. Pierre McGuire. Liam McHugh and all the other cast of who cares.
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup Finals. So no more hockey. Shed a tear for that. Who knows when we'll see hockey back. I bet nobody even noticed because of the 39 other sports going on this weekend. But at least we had one more opportunity to play Hockey Night in Canada all of 1 minute. So, goodbye Hockey Night. We're switching you off for another season. Bye. There we go. So, that's done. So, anyway, that's the last hockey we're going to talk on this one for a long time. As we watch a massive field goal attempt by the Jets.
Sam kicking, ficking.
It's good. 54 yards, which is like a chip shot in the NFL these days, apparently.
Yeah. And
so, the...
just ask Harrison Butker.
True. So that's a natural lead into our discussion of the National Football League. Wow, this is a bad game tonight. If you are listening to this and you did not have a chance to watch the Thursday night tilt between the Broncos and the Jets, consider yourself fortunate.
Lucky.
I bet you
Joe Buck's like, why am I calling this game?
Because he's making a ton of money.
I know, but it's like Thursday night's the bad game of the week.
So the Broncos
Monday's
with
the good night of the week.
Brett Rippon at quarterback, who is, I believe, nephew to Mark Rippon, formerly.
He's related to Mark Rippon.
Yeah, nephew, something. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's starting for the injured.
But he went to
Locke.
Boise State, so he's good.
Yeah, there you go. And Noah Fant, their most effective pass catcher, already has been hauled off on a cart tonight, so that's not good. Meanwhile, on the other side, Sam Darnold started the game with a 50-some-yard touchdown run and then promptly went into the camping tent to get his shoulder looked at. Joe Flacco, who, yes, is still in the NFL, participated briefly tonight. Thanks for playing, Joe. But it's 27-19 in the fourth quarter. This was an even at 41. We both had the Broncos in this one in the over. So right now we're hitting. So that's a good start to our week. By the way, just to recap before we go into the pick segment here, the Loudmouth has won 2 weeks, 1 week even, none for the Legend. Loudmouth sitting at 26-21-1 against the spread for the year. The Legend crawling above 500, 24-23-1.
That's not the Vikings are below 500.
Yes. Other stats to keep in mind, the average number of points per game, 51. So if you're looking at betting over-unders, 51 is the league average. The over is hit in 30 of the 48 games. The underdog is actually above 500 on the line, 24-23-1, and the away team is 25-22-1 against the spread. So what does that mean? It's a 50-50 league, baby, and the home field advantage of the years past ain't there.
Well, unless somebody told me, you know, because Dallas has fans, so they have a home field advantage. No, they don't.
Dallas doesn't have any fans.
They haven't had any true fans since, what, 1960?
Well, the last time the bandwagon was rolling in the Super Bowl was 95, right?
Yep.
With that crew with Aikman, Irvin, and Nemeth, the triplets.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call Barry Switzer the head coach.
Has that been 25 years now since they were even relevant?
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty rough.
Is that way if you're old again, right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Let's get the Sunday slate. We'll save the pain and agony of the Vikings. By the way, Pittsburgh, Tennessee postponed
to a later date.
Because of COVID.
To a TBD.
Probably going to be the week 7 or 8 game now. I have the bye weeks line up for the Steelers and Ravens, so they'll move the Steelers-Ravens game to week 7 and play this one in week 8. So if you've got fantasy players and you had to submit your lineup, you're pretty screwed already because of Thursday night. But keep that in mind. So Titans-Steelers off the board will be rescheduled. Vikings are going to play. We'll get to that later. But that was also part of the story this week. Let's start in Chicago, where the 3-0 Bears come in. Nick Foles will be your starting quarterback. And the Colts come in 2-1.
Give me the Colts.
The Colts are 2.5-point favorites.
The
over-under is 43.
Give me the Colts.
No rationale or reason required?
I've seen their defense. They're pretty damn good. Phil Rivers having an okay season. I think an okay defense will beat Chicago. Yeah, give me the Colts.
Okay, you're going to take the Colts. So the Colts minus 2.5?
Yes, sir.
All right.
With the over.
With the over? Okay. I'm going to do the same. I
don't think the Bears are a credible offense.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they look with Foles at the controls. See how I did there?
Not funny.
No, but I think that the Bears, it'll be interesting if they actually get ahead in the game, but the Colts run the ball so well.
Yeah.
That I think that'll neutralize some of that.
They might not have time.
I like what Phillip Rivers is doing here. He's not being asked to carry the entire weight of this team. And I think that works for him at this age.
Yeah.
So far, it's worked enough that they can grind out first downs, score points consistently, keep the pressure on teams. I think they get it done. I'm not totally crazy about, you know, only 2.5 points, though, is enough to clinch it for me. They can win this game by a field goal. So, Jaguars go on the road to Cincinnati.
Oh God, this is a
Jaguars 1-2. Bengals still looking for that first win, although Joe Burrow got his first tie. Bengals are a 3-point home favorite with the over under at 48.5. Grant, what are you looking at here?
Give me the Bengals.
You want the Bengals minus a 3? All right.
Yeah.
48.5.
You know, Burrow will make it happen. Yeah, over.
Okay.
It's just because the Jags just look so dreadful and inconsistent, like, as always. I'm just not into Jags.
The Jets just ran into pick six. So, wow. 27-25 Jets, I presume. It's Pierre Desir, who gave up who got mossed earlier by Jerry Jeudy. Just ran back to pick six. And Brett Rippon, congratulations. You've joined a long, illustrious list of quarterbacks who've thrown pick sixes. On
including your nephew, including your uncle, nephew,
or whatever it is. Anyway, back to this one. You don't Minshew mania here. I think the Bengals are going to win this one. I think this is the one they get. I think Burrow has probably earned it. I'm going to take the under, though, just because I have a sneaking suspicion this might be lower scoring and a lot more field goals than people think. So,
well, Yep. Randy Bullock at least 20 fantasy points this week.
Yeah, so I'll take the Bengals minus the 3 as well. Underachievers game of the week: Browns at 2-1 against the 1-2 Cowboys.
Ooh,
at,
that's a tough
Arlington,
one.
Over under 56. The Cowboys are 4.5 point
Man,
favorites.
That's a tough. You go first.
It's yeah, no, I'll one. Absolutely go. The Cowboys will win, and I hate to say that because this is the type of game where Baker Mayfield will make a costly error. And will cost his team the game. And Dak Prescott at home is pretty good. And 4.5 is a number I can accept. The Jets, of course, screwed up the 2-point play and now still trail. The Cowboys are in desperate mode. They need to win this game. This is a team they're expected to beat. If the Browns somehow can pull this off, they are. We talked about this last week, how the Browns could be a contender. But this is the kind of game they have to win and the kind of game they won't win because Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. Give me the Cowboys minus the 4.5. Over-under is 56. I'm betting the over in this one. It's going to be a shootout because neither of these teams can play defense worth a damn.
Yes, but here's the thing with the Browns. They have such a great running game.
Now, are you going to let your hatred of the Cowboys influence your game here?
To an extent.
Yes, I figured.
I don't like Dallas. I think Cleveland's up and coming. What's the line?
4.5.
Oh, God.
Sucker line.
Give me Cowboys.
Attaboy. Attaboy. That was a logical choice.
I have to. I can't.
And the over?
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus 4.5 in the over. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. It's tough. It's a sucker bet because those people, oh, the Browns! Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I do.
Saints at the Lions. This is not a gimme. Saints are 1-2, and they look rather pedestrian in it. Over under 54.5 against the Lions. Lions are confusing, but in the end, we all know what the Lions are.
Yep, underperforming.
Saints can't lose this game.
No. No, they can't. And it's for Drew Brees' last ride, this is not the way you want to be. We start out 1-3 and just fumble through the season. With all Drew Brees is done for that franchise, saying, well, with a 6-10 season is not what the Saints want to do for him. So I think just out of, you know, this is the win one for the Breezer kind of game, so... Yeah, give me the Saints.
Saints minus the 4.
Yeah.
54.5.
Under.
Under. I'm going to take the Saints as well, but I'm going to also take the under. Not enough points here for the Lions to really make it matter. I don't think this is a field goal game. I think the Saints will win this game because they have to, and I think they're going to... Now they get Michael Thomas back. That's the other key part of this game, is getting him back, I think, will improve. It'll enable them to do some more things on offense. And I don't think the Lions, quite frankly, can shut them down enough to really make a difference. So
Yep. Give
me the Saints minus the 4. Seahawks on the road at Miami. Seahawks come in undefeated against the 1-2 Dolphins. Seahawks 6.5 point favorites on the road with an over-under of 53.5. I don't have a lot of hesitation in taking Seattle here. I think Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the game right now. I think the Dolphins, while they're improving, are not good enough to win, even at home against a team like this, who I think will carve their secondary up. This may be the best group of receivers Russell Wilson has had with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I really like what they're doing. They're using Chris Carson effectively. Greg Olsen seems to be clicking. I don't think the Dolphins have enough to stop them, and I don't think they have enough offense to get them either. Give me the Seahawks. I'll take that minus the 6.5, and I will take the under, though, because I don't think the Dolphins are going to score a lot.
Yeah, give me the Seahawks. Yes, Seahawks over everything. The Seahawks are just a better team. They just are.
You want the over? Now, 53.5 is too big for me.
Yeah, under. I think under would be a better move, the more I think about it. The Seahawks are just a better football team.
Yeah.
It just boils down to who's the better team, and then Seattle's the better team.
Sometimes you don't have to make it too complicated. Chargers at the Buccaneers. Chargers 1-2. Haven't heard anything on quarterback status yet for the week, but I don't think it really matters if it's Herbert or Taylor.
Or Stick.
Or Stick, or, you know.
Or
Trey Lance, or anybody else that's playing for
Dan Fouts.
John Hadel.
Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf. That's
Drew Brees.
Good. Very nice.
Eli Manning.
Stan Humphries. Super Bowl. Yes. Super Bowl quarterback Stan Humphries.
I gotta think. No, Chargers quarterbacks. Why can't I think of any more for Chargers quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, after you know.
Oh, I can't think of any more.
Wasn't James Harris a Chargers? No, he was a Rams. Never mind. I got the wrong.
Yeah,
team.
He was at the Rams.
Never mind. Okay, I think we've done that, been there, done that. Tom Brady, the current Buccaneers quarterback, I think he'll do just fine in this one. The Bucs are 7-point favorites in this one. Intriguing that the line, it's right about at the number where I might have picked L.A., but I just got a hunch Tampa's going to be on a roll in this game, and I think they're going to, again, come out with they've got a real chance here early in the season, if they can keep winning, to kind of put some distance between them and New Orleans. And they're going to need that because New Orleans got that season-opening win. So give me the Bucs minus the 7. Yep. And I'm going to take the under because I don't think they're going to light it up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take that minus the 7.
Yeah, I'm taking the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, they're just a better football team right now. I mean, the Chargers, they're a solid team. But Tampa's got so many weapons, and their defense is so good. I don't care if Stan Humphries or Sean Salisbury, Jim McMahon or Billy Joe Tolliver. I don't care who it is.
Billy Joe Tolliver jumped off the Tallahatchie
or
Bridge.
Doug Flutie or Moses Moreno.
That's good stuff right there. Moses Moreno.
I'll take Tampa Bay plus everything.
I bet he hasn't been mentioned on a talk show in 20 years.
Jim Everett? Or Chris Everett?
Don't comment. No, don't make me play that clip now.
Chris?
You're not going to throw the table over, are you? No. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Tom Flick?
Who?
Tom Flick.
Now you're just making names
up. I'm not. Ed Luther?
I do know who that is.
James Harris, you're correct.
James Harris. Did he play for the Chargers?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Marty Domras.
Okay, stop, because now you forced me to actually have...
Jack Kemp.
You know what I have to do here now, yes, that we're talking about that, so...
I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints quarterback, Jim Everett. That's the game winner right there. All right, that was then, and this is now. He's now a member of the Saints. Jim, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Check that. Chris Everett, good to have you on the show.
You know what? You've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually, Chris.
Well, hey, you know what? Let me say one thing. In that game, how many sacks did I have that we came back and won?
How many sacks did you have?
In that game, how many sacks?
Let's see, but this was back in 1989.
Right,
you may have even been Jim Everett back there, but somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett
station break.
One more time,
one
more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a 5-minute segment, a 5-segment show. We got a long way to go.
We do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of
you. It's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good to see you, too.
We've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we got no problem with that.
I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris.
And the hilarity ensues from that point on. Always a good excuse to drag that clip out.
Or Mark Malone or Jim McMahon's the quarterback.
All right, we better get up before I start
Rick
playing.
Rick Neuheisel.
Stop. We're officially done with that. Ravens minus 14 at the Washington football team. The former indigenous peoples or whatever we're calling them these days. This is a no-brainer. I know the line is huge. And I know the over-under is huge. The Ravens will kill them. They are angry. They got humiliated on national television by Patrick Mahomes. Washington's terrible. Give me the Ravens. And yes, I'm going to take a minus the 14, which is a stupid pick. I'm going to take minus 14 in the under. I think the Ravens are going to win like 35-7.
I'm with you, too. Everything you said, I totally agree with. They're just a better football team. So,
Cardinals at the Panthers. Yeah, I know. Cardinals 3.5-point favorites and a 51 over under at Carolina. This is a game I think that the Cardinals are going to come out and try to prove that last week was an aberration. That loss to Detroit was not particularly good. Kyler Murray did not play particularly well. Give me in this one, I'm going to take the Cardinals minus the 3.5 and the over.
As will I. The Cardinals are a better football team than Carolina.
You can't say that they're a better football team in every pick.
Well, I'm right though, aren't I?
Well, but that can't be the rationale for every pick. They're just a better football team.
I'm trying to explain to you here. Okay. What the hell do the Panthers have that's going to tell me that they're going to beat Arizona?
Not very much, although they did play pretty decent considering what they had lost last week. I mean,
the Cardinals have a better offense, and the Panthers have a very good defense.
I mean, the Panthers did beat the Chargers last week without all those people.
Yippee-ki-yay. All right.
We're going to need a sound clip for this next one. We've got the Giants against the other team that's not the Chargers from Los Angeles.
Against a certain team.
Against a certain team with a certain head coach who...
That horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Rams need to get a new horn after losing last week to the Bills. Their comeback effort fell short. Fortunately for them, help is on the way in form of the New York Football Giants. The Rams, big numbers on the board this week. Big numbers. Minus 12 is the line right now for the Rams. And I like it. I'm going to take the Rams minus 12 because I think the Giants, they suck. And I don't see them, after that pathetic performance against the Niners this last weekend, I don't see why I should change my mind when they play a football team. Excuse me? So I'm going to take the Rams minus the 12, and I'm going to take the under in this one.
Inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
That's the Giants in one sentence. Yep. Thank you, Jake Tapper. The Giants, they suck, all right? They suck. Let's just put it that way. There's nothing that tells me that they're going to win this game.
So I take it you're picking the Rams minus 12?
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams by whatever, the over everything.
Okay. I'm going to take the under because 48.5, there's no friggin' way the Giants are going to score enough.
The Giants will scrape up enough points to make it work.
Patriots at the Chiefs. Chiefs 7-point favorite at home with an over-under 53.
You have a big stiffy for Belichick.
But even Belichick can't convince me that his team is going to hang with the, especially with a 7-point line. If it was 7.5 or 8, I might take a shot, but that line's too low. Give me the Chiefs minus the 7 because I just think they're the best team in football and it's not close.
Yeah, the Chiefs, I mean, how do you stop them? I mean, do you have any answers how to stop that team?
Chargers apparently did.
To an extent.
Start a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how you do it.
I just don't. I think the Chiefs offense, until someone will figure it out, give it a few weeks and I think they'll have a shot. And probably when they play some division games where you got teams that are more familiar with it. But as of right now,
It's like the Bears and the 46 defense. How do you stop? Well, Miami figured it out.
Yeah.
At some point, some defensive mastermind is going to figure out that offense.
But all the mastermind in the world ain't going to cover Tyreek Hill when he moves that fast.
That's very true.
And I think the key here in this is that I just don't think the Patriots can hang enough points up there to go back and forth in a match like that with Chiefs. So we're both on the
Chiefs and the
Chiefs
over,
and the over for that one. Bills at Raiders. Bills are minus 3 going into Las Vegas. Raiders, you know, they've played well. Buffalo is playing better, though. And I don't know necessarily, though, if this is such a bad play to pick the Raiders here. I almost thought about doing it, but in the end, I just can't pick against them. I'm going to take Buffalo. I'm going to take Buffalo minus the 3.
I will also take Buffalo
minus the
3.
I like what they're doing. And I think 3 points, again, basically at home, this is a pick game. The two teams on the field that I see there, it comes down to defense. The Raiders don't play any, and the Bills do.
Buffalo's offense against a defense for the Raiders and a good, really, really good Buffalo defense. Buffalo, they're so much better. Give me Buffalo.
Sunday Night Football, Eagles at 49ers.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz with a minus 7 for the 49ers are favored against the Eagles. 0-2-1 on the road of the defending NFC champions. I don't like this.
Carson, I love you, but give me the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Niners, too.
I love you, Carson. I have almost all of your trading cards in our studio, but seriously, this just ain't happening.
This is a bad week for Wentz. It's going to get worse. And 0-3-1 staring down. Now, of course, fortunately, again, for them, the NFC East, the NFC Least, will be easily in play for them. Monday Night Football, Falcons at Packers. The Falcons are horrible on the road at Lambeau against a superior talented team. 56.5 over under.
Over.
The Packers are 7.5-point favorites. Yes, yes, yes. Give me the Packers all day, all night.
Atlanta's offense is just firing on all cylinders.
But the problem is they won't be able to beat Green Bay because they'll make some inevitable screw-ups. And the Packers are too good to get beaten by a team like Atlanta who, frankly, will embarrass themselves against Aaron Rodgers because they're incapable of keeping a lead in the fourth quarter. The number's a little high. That 7.5 makes me a little bit nervous. because of how close the games Atlanta has had this year, but I just don't have any faith in them. Until they show me they can win a game like this or even cover in a game like this, I can't do it. Give me the Packers minus the 7.5, and I'm taking the over of 56.5. You really want to stake your week on the Falcons.
I hate them so much. I hate Green Bay so much. I really, really want to pick against them.
Let the hate flow through you.
I really don't want to do this. I don't want to pick Green Bay.
We're running out of time.
I know. I don't want to pick Green Bay. Fine, give me Green Bay.
Oh, boy.
Damn it.
Yeah, we'll talk you into that one. And the over, I assume?
Yes.
All right. Last but not least, the Vikings, who unfortunately couldn't get out of this game due to COVID or any other circumstances. The 0-3 against 0-3.
They had to face the Kings of the 0-3 to a playoff spot in
right.
Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans, this is going to be a terrible football game in a terrible city.
This will not be a terrible football game.
It'll certainly be one that they have some opportunity in. Texans in 4. What do you think?
What's the over?
54 is the over.
Shoot the over up.
The moon on the over? All right.
Yes.
But who are you picking?
Who are you picking?
I'm going to take the Vikes plus 4. Plus 4 is the key. I think the Vikes plus 4. The field goal, this is going to be a field goal game. We'll probably miss one.
Do you trust Kamini Fairburn, or do you trust Dan Bailey?
Doesn't matter. I don't need to trust him. I just need the score to be within 3 points. Because 4 points is enough. I think the Vikes are... I don't know if the Vikes are going to win.
I thought you picked Houston. I really thought you picked
Houston. I'm gonna take the Vikes plus 4. And just because I think it's that kind of game where I think the Vikings will be able to score points. And I don't think Houston's offense is very good. And this will be, by far and away, the worst offensive team that the Vikings have gone up against. And I think it's one of their few legitimate chances to win. Give me the Vikes plus the 4.
I'm taking the Vikes plus the 4 and the over. But I'm going to say this. If the Vikings win this game, this could be a springboard. We got to win. Now
springboard to what? 4-12?
I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying. You win one, that becomes two.
That's called a winning streak.
No, it's called momentum. It's a younger team.
Honestly.
Come on.
I wish they would have gotten COVID.
Seriously?
Not had to play.
Why?
I don't know. Everything about this team is just bleh. Now,
You have some confidence when you win one game. Okay, we got to win. That's made a game to 2, then 3, then 4, then 5, then 6.
That Seattle game next week should take care of that problem.
Never know.
Anyway, kicking Ficken coming in here to try to give the Jets the lead and make us a one. So we did not disagree on any games.
I want to pick Atlanta, but I just have
to. I'll give you one more opportunity to change your mind. You really want to ride with the Falcons and the Dirty Bird.
Screw it, give me Atlanta.
Attaboy. Convinced him to turn it around. So it'll come down to Monday Night Football for our difference. So the legend caves to the pressure and puts his week resting firmly on the right arm of Matt Ryan.
They won the highest scoring offenses.
Yeah, but they're playing the highest scoring offense. That's the problem.
That's Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, no, it isn't. Not really. No, it isn't.
Oh, really? No, it isn't.
No,
okay.
It isn't.
Okay. I don't care if Atlanta still blows the lead. As long as I have that, as long as the point spread's in my favor, that's all I really need.
I'm actually going to have to root for Green Bay, aren't I? Well, they're going
to
win anyway.
I'm forcing you to pick Green Bay.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And that is your National Football League prediction slate for Week 4 coming up here. My goodness, time flies when you are having a good time. We're going to call a halt to the proceedings at this point. Wrap it up. We have covered a lot of ground on tonight's show. My goodness, all these sports going on, a cornucopia of sports, as it's been called. So get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for picks and all recaps and latest show information. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat @GrantLegend. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. It's legend_loudmouth_pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please.
But Grant, tell us about our international listeners, by the way,
We have listeners in, what, Singapore and
Netherlands,
that was the other place.
Truly an international broadcast that we are. So we appreciate all your support from Singapore, the Netherlands, and all the great, great areas all across the Fruited Plain as we start off October, wake me up when September ends, it's finally over. We're into October, a busy month coming ahead, the NBA Finals, college football, the NFL, everything. We're here to break it down for you. Monday night, we'll be back here on The Legend and The Loudmouth. Have a good night, everybody.